that God wants to multiply grace to us this morning and wants to give us comfort. And some of you might be thinking, oh, that sounds good. That sounds really nice. And those of you who know me are thinking, ooh, because comfort doesn't come like we often think, and neither does grace. And sometimes I hear people say, not lately, but they rub their hands and they get all wimpy and say, well, it's all by grace, Jim. It's all by grace. And it seems to me sometimes that that is a bit of a wishy-washy grace and a weak grace. You know, grace is free, but it didn't come cheap. And we should never cheapen grace. And when we use the word grace, we should think about Christ and him crucified. There's our motivation when we talk about grace. It's not just a little bit of a rub on the shoulder, grace, and I'll get to my bag of tricks. I feel like, anyway, let me read some verses to you to begin with. It says in 2 Peter 1:2, it says this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Anybody want grace multiplied to them this morning? Yeah. If I had three hands, I'd have the other one up. I want grace multiplied to me this morning. But there's a clause. I call it the sanity clause, not Santa Claus. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's interesting, isn't it? There's a clause there that God wants to multiply grace to us, but it comes through. There is a clause, and it is a sanity clause, because there is a definition of insanity, isn't there, that says, if I do the same thing and expect different results, I've gone daft. And God wants us to know him. That grace and peace is multiplied to us through the knowledge of God the Father and our Lord Jesus. And that's that knowledge, that those who are in the Monday group, you know that word, it's epignosis. It's a correct and precise knowledge. It's a knowing. It's not a knowing of the head. It's a knowing of experience of the heart. It's a knowing intimate. It's a knowing personally, not knowing about, but thoroughly knowing. And grace is multiplied to us in the knowing. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, that I may become more intimately acquainted with his person. There's a golfer called Gary Player, and a South African golfer, and he was very famous in the day, and he was criticized as being lucky Gary Player. And one day this snotty-nosed reporter tried to get the better of him and said, Gary, how do you feel about this title that you've got, this thing that people call you, lucky Gary Player? He said, that's interesting. He said, the more I practice, the luckier I get. And it seems to me, the more I engage with God, the more I encounter God, the more I walk with God, the more I engage with his purposes, his promises, and his power, the gracier I become. Does that fit? The more I walk with him, the more I engage with him, the more I get into his word and fellowship and prayer and obedience and worship, it seems to me that the gracier I get. But sometimes we look at other people, we think, don't we, and we see, I won't mention any names, and we think, it's all right for them. God seems to have favor upon them, and there's little old me. Well, listen, God's available. His grace is available 24 hours of every day for each one of us. Psalm 121 says this. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And Jeremiah 3:23 says this. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. I look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help comes not from the hills, that which is made. It comes from the maker of those hills. It comes from God Almighty. And this morning, God is wooing you and drawing you so that he can multiply grace to you. I think that's a good deal this morning. I think that's the best present I could ever get, that present of his grace. Because we can work hard, we can struggle and strive and sweat cobs. And it takes years to do nothing. And yet, just a moment of his favor, and the world spins the different way. And our night becomes day. And our emptiness becomes fullness. Just one look from that face and one multiplication of that grace. Luke 24 talks about two guys on the road to Emmaus. And they were discussing the events of the last couple of days, the last events, tumultuous events of the last week or so. Christ had come. He'd been betrayed. He'd been whipped. He'd been crucified. He'd been dead, and that was it. It was game, set, and match. And these two disciples were on the road to Emmaus discussing the events. And then this stranger just draws alongside. I've had a great time reading this story because I've got a good imagination. That's how I get as much as I can out of the word. I'm one of those disciples. And I'm fed up. I'm disappointed. What happened there? Like, well, Cleopas, what happened? You know, we thought all this was going to happen. And it's just not turned out like I expected. It's just not worked like I thought it would. My hopes have been dashed. And this fella comes along. They don't know who it is. And he says, what are you talking about? Now, I wish there was a Scouse version of the Bible. They would have said, are you having a laugh? Where have you been? Have you just landed? Have you been sleeping under a rock? Have you not heard about this Jesus fella? He's from Nazareth. We thought that he was the one who was going to deliver us. Have you not heard anything about this? Have you ever been like that? Cleopas means glory of the Father. It's glory of the Father to ask. Have you just landed? Where have you been? We trusted that this man would be our deliverer. And so they walk on, and Jesus begins with Moses. This stranger begins at Moses to open the scriptures and to... Is this clicking? I'm sorry. It's probably my neck. Or me nervous bone. Jesus then begins at Moses to expound the scriptures to them and to open things up to them. And their eyes, verse 25 in the message, it says this. It says, thick-headed and slow of heart. No hands came up. Sometimes I'm just so thick-headed and so slow-hearted. In the AV it says, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory, and beginning at Moses? And then, as he's breaking bread, they say to him, don't go on ahead. Come and be with us. And so he breaks bread and he reveals himself to them and then disappears out of sight. And then they're talking and they say to each other, do you know when he was talking, didn't our hearts the toilet are this way. Will you all switch off your mobile phone? Sorry, Les. I knew I'd call you out. Their eyes were opened and their, it says, did not our hearts burn within us? The first century historian Josephus said this, now Emmaus, the word, if it be interpreted, may be rendered a warm bath. Emmaus was a place of warm baths. That's what Emmaus means, a warm bath. And these two guys of hopes have been dashed. It hadn't worked out like they wanted it to. Idea, let's go and have a warm bath. Have you ever done that? When everything's, sometimes in our house, I'll say, do you want a cup of tea? A cup of tea, that's not going to, no, she doesn't do that. A warm bath. There's nothing wrong with a warm bath, but give me a burning heart any day. There's nothing wrong with a warm bath, but give me a burning heart any day. I brought three things to stir something in you, to spark some thoughts. And, you know, when you stand here and you preach as the oracles of God, if the Holy Spirit isn't here and there, we're wasting our time, aren't we? We're dead meat. So I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is hovering and brooding over you guys to speak to you, because I can't, but he can. First thing I brought is a comfy blanket. I did say God wanted to multiply grace to you this morning, didn't I? And comfort. This is lovely. Sorry, Pete. Feel that, Geraldine? Yeah, no. This is mine. Can I move this away a bit? Sorry. A comfy blanket. It's warm. It's snuggly. It's lovely. And on a cold winter day, when the wind is battering down, a good black and white film, a block of chocolate, a cup of coffee or hot chocolate, and you snuggle in. You draw the curtains, you lock the door, you take the phone off the hook. Preach it, brother. This is a wonderful, lovely, soft thing. It's absolutely beautiful. I love it. There's nothing wrong with a comfy blanket. It seems to me that I've got to share two verses, that there's a comparison here. Acts 1:8 says this, after you receive the Holy Ghost, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the outer parts of the world. And what happened? The early church seems to me, historically, they got one of these out. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outer parts of the world. And so what did the early church do? I can't play with this because it'll spoil the mic. They did this. And a couple of chapters later in Acts 8:1, it says this, and at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. I think there's a correlation there. I think Acts 1:8 and Acts 8:1, there's a comparison. There's a compare and contrast. There's like two Qs. QA, power to be witnesses. QB, persecution and scattering. Which one do you want? Which one will we choose? I believe God is speaking to us today. He wants to multiply grace to us. He wants to bring comfort. But we expect it to be our way, don't we? And we do it our way and then pray very intensely, God bless us. But God's got a way, and the grace multiplication is in his way. Can someone smile at me? God wants to multiply his grace to your life. God wants to multiply his resources and his power, his wisdom, his understanding, his victory to your life right now, today. And he's saying to all of us individually and as church, we need to get with the program. We have a choice. We can use this and snuggle under and draw the curtains and put the kettle on. Or we can be about his business. Warm baths are okay, but give me a burning heart any day. Ha. The Lord asked me to get one of these some years ago, and I didn't really understand why, to be honest with you, but I just bought it. I felt I was being obedient. For those who listen to the download, this is a shofar horn. This is a shofar horn. And this is in my bedroom. And I see this every day. And it gives me great comfort and hope. When I look at this, grace is multiplied to me. Do you want me to blow it? So let's try. Excuse me. That was a practice one. I knew they'd do that. Excuse me. I'll get it. There's a Bible study and a half to be done about this. Do you know there's a Bible study and a half to be done about the shofar horn? When it is blown, how it is blown, the reasons it's blown. When I look at this, because I have some scriptural understanding, this encourages me so much. Is it Psalm 68 that says, "Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered"? Every time the children of Israel broke camp, they would blow this horn. And all the nations around about would go into panic. God wants to multiply his grace to you today. Every time I see this, from whence cometh my help? I look unto the hills. Your help doesn't come from anything made. It doesn't come from the hills. It comes from God who made the hills. Our hope and our comfort is in him. This small, insignificant things gives me great hope. Let me read something to you. Leviticus 25, 8 to 10 says this. And you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years unto yourself. 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. I can't do an in-depth Bible study about the shofar horn or the jubilee, but it says that you shall cause the trumpet, the shofar of the jubilee, to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make a shofar sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. You know, the Day of Atonement, what a day. Imagine that. Imagine once a year, that day, the shofar horn is blasted out. The high priest in his garb goes into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the Lamb, tied so... You know the story. If he falls down dead, we can pull him out. Imagine that day. This blast of these horns going off. It would have been awesome. Awesome. And because of Christ and him crucified, that horn is eternally blown. For you and I to go into the Holy of Holies, God wants to multiply grace to you this morning. Can you get that in your spirit? That you have access to El Shaddai, Almighty God, 24 hours of every day. All day. The good days, the bad days, the ugly days. And they're going to be ugly days. I think we should get more excited at that truth, to be honest. You know, I'll be hoping Liverpool beat United, the savvy. And when they win, I'll be going, yes. I've stood on the cough. It's a disgrace, you know. I'm sorry. I have to be bold. It's a disgrace that we get so excited about tosh, about rubbish, but when we hear this truth, we don't get excited. Now, I'm not putting any pressure on you. I don't want to judge you. I'm not getting pharisaical. But it's saying something. Honestly, it's got to be saying something. We have a blast, an eternal blast that has gone on. And now it's our year of Jubilee. This is the year of the Lord, where we can return to our possession. Everything that Adam lost, Jesus won. And it's now ours. Glory to God. We have access to the throne room of the universe. And we act like beggars, miserly, poor people. It's wrong, isn't it? Only dogs can hear me now. Hebrews 4:14-16 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points was tested. So then, let us come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need. Do you know what that means? Do you, honestly, I'm sorry to get excited. Do you truly know what that means? Do I? To boldly come. Father, your son's here. Your daughter's here. At the end of the day, if you're just saying your prayers, oh, we just survived that one, didn't we? We got through. You're missing it. Corinthians 15:51-58 says this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the shofar shall sound. This gives me amazing comfort. I'm not saying go and get one, but I'm glad I've got one. I look at this every day. I use it in my devotions sometimes. It's fantastic. Do you know why? Because it reminds me of the eternal perspective. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. 55. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because you've got the eternal perspective, because we're looking forward to the last shofar blast, aren't we? You can shout if you want. The mic won't catch you. I tell you what, I'm not depressed or fed up, but I can't wait for that last shofar sound and the dead will be raised in Christ. Therefore, because you've got that mindset, beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you get that? An eternal perspective is not important. It's absolutely vital. That we have this eternity on the inside calling us home. Not yet. Not yet. I'm not finished. But there's something of eternity calling us all heavenward. Can you feel it? And it's not because I'm fed up. It's not because I'm depressed. If United win this afternoon, I don't care. Shut up, you. Don't listen to her, Lord. You know, I'm praying for you. I pray for people I love. I pray for Brexit. I pray for Trump. Let's keep praying. But you know what? I've got a destiny much bigger, much longer, much broader, much wider, much better than this. God wants to multiply grace to you today. And the more we engage, the more we encounter with his purposes, as he promises, his power, his kingdom, the gracier we will become. It's up to you. There's no forcing in this, is there? I think this is the offer of the century. Sale of the century. And it's free. God, this morning, has an invitation to all of us. Come and get some more grace. Come and get some more. It makes me laugh. It makes me, honestly, it's ridiculous. The gospel is bizarre. Today, he's saying, daughter, son, come and get some more unmerited favor. Come and get some of my grace that will change your life. Now, I had to wrap this next thing up fairly. Because God wants to give us comfort. Oh, look at that. Look at that. That'll give you some comfort. I'm going to have to disguise this on the way back to the car. You can get arrested for carrying this around. It says on a covenant partner. Don't ask where I got it. Rob, feel that. It's heavy, isn't it? Geraldine? Yeah? God wants to multiply some grace to you today. God wants to multiply some peace and some grace. And it isn't going to come through this. But it might come through this. Imagine the devil comes at you. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? Come on. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. Sometimes we're like Frodo and Sam when they're by Mordor. You can't see me, can you? I can't see you, so you can't see me. I'll just wait under this for a day or two. Oh, you're still here. Do you get what I'm saying? Ephesians 6 talks about the whole armor of God. And guess what? I've studied the original Greek, and it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I can't find comfy blanket. It says helmet, breastplate, shield, belt, sword, shoes. No comfy blanket. It doesn't list it at all. I've looked in lots of translations and lots of books. It's just not there. There's nothing wrong with warm baths, but give me a burning heart any day. There's nothing wrong with warm baths. It says in Ephesians 6:17, take take, in the AV, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It says, is anyone getting this? It says, take. I've offered that to Rob and to Geraldine. It's a heavy beast. This takes some practice to engage with it and to wield it in a proper way. Take it, we must. And practice it, we must. Because God wants to multiply grace to us. Bless you. Hallelujah. I'm nearly done. Thank God, they say. Romans 15:4 says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Warm baths are okay, but give me a burning heart any day. You know, I'm done early because I just feel to stop. But I think point's been made. If it needs to be made anymore, then you've not been listening. I want to pray. And, you know, if you want to respond, you could just stand. If you don't want to respond, that's fine. But I just want to pray because let me read one of the scripture before I do finish. Excuse me. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17 says this. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And that's what God wants to do this morning, I believe, is to establish every good word and work in your life. He wants to bring that comfort, that consolation, and that hope. But it doesn't come by us just wrapping ourselves up in a comfy blanket. And do you know what? We've all been on the road to Emmaus. We've all been disappointed. We've all had our hopes dashed. We've all read the script and thought, huh? That's not the way I wrote it. But do you know what? Glory to God. There's always a new day, isn't there? There's always a fresh start with God. His blood and his everlasting kindness and goodness is always stretched out toward us. So I just feel there's all of us maybe, but some of us really need to respond this morning to the call of God. And because God wants to multiply his grace and he wants us to engage with him. He wants us to respond to him. He wants us to encounter him this morning, not just a word, not just some silly props, but something of the Holy Spirit so that we can determine never to be the same again, so that we can determine to go forward in this grace. Is that all right? I'm going to pray. You can stand up if you want to. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, Lord God, show us, open the eyes of our understanding, Lord God, to see truly, Lord God, where we are, who we are, how we are. Lord, I pray wisely that you would open our eyes to our circumstances like we've never been opened before, that we might see, Lord God, the thief who is stealing and killing and wanting to destroy us, Lord God. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would show us individually, Lord God, where we are. Lord God, awaken us from our sleep, Lord God. Sometimes you rouse people, Lord God, by an alarm clock or a shaking. Just come, Lord. I cannot put conditions on you. I just pray you'd come and you'd awaken us, Lord God, as individuals, and you would awaken us as a church, Lord God, to who we are, where we are. Lord God, I pray that you would set us on our feet, Lord God, to face a new day in you. Lord God, that we would never be the same again, that we would not, that we'd have a look around and see. I just see in my spirit a bedroom, you know, and it's just so untidy. It's just slovenly. It's just a mess, and I'm not judging anyone. I just pray, Father, that you would waken us to, so to speak, tidy our lives, Lord God. Get ourselves fit for the kingdom, fit for your purposes, Lord God, fit for your grace to be worked in and worked through our lives, Lord God. Holy Spirit, please come and just don't leave us alone, Lord God, in this. Don't let us look in the mirror of your word and then walk away and forget what to do. Lord God, let this word bear 30, 60, and 100-fold in each one of our lives. I pray for this church, Lord God, that we will engage and encounter the very perfect plan and purposes of God in these days, Lord God, and engage with you, that you might multiply your peace and your grace to us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen.